the Greenville Cub Scouts, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGSC Accra Catskill of Hudson.
Very good.
We recommend this station.
WGXC always needs computer donations. If you have an old one you don't need, and it's either a Macintosh 2011 or newer 2.0 gigahertz or faster CPU, dual core or more, or Windows 2012 or newer 2.4 gigahertz or faster CPU, dual core or more, email info at wgxc.org for more information.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hover Foundation, the T-Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXE sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Food New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC local news for Sunday, January 24th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Alila Schneider is reporting for Columbia Green Media that a newly approved city resolution now requires the Hudson Police Department to report to the Common Council gender and racial data related to all traffic and pedestrian stops. Hudson Police Chief Edward Moore must now provide elected officials with monthly traffic stop data, including the gender and racial identity of those stopped by police, as well as where they were stopped. Nationwide racial profiling and the Hudson Common Council's requesting a 25-mile-per-hour speed limit in Hudson were among the reasons for the resolution. Fifth Ward Alderperson Dominic Moranti was the lone vote against the measure, arguing the matter should be revisited at the February Common Council meeting. Concerns were raised by Moranti and Second Ward Alderperson Dewan Sarar that inquiring about gender could be perceived as insensitive. Police Chief Edward Moore was not included in the Common Council's decision to create a traffic stop data requirement. Quote, transparency is a pane of glass, unquote, Moore said January 22nd. Quote, it works both ways. We are always forthcoming with our direction and goals. If the city council were so, we would have had some sort of discussion, unquote. Moore said the information being requested is not currently collected by the department. However, he did provide race and gender information for 490 of the approximately 1,000 tickets issued in 2020. Within that group, 73.5% were Caucasian, 20.2% Black, 0.4% Asian or South Pacific, and 5.9% were categorized as other, Moore said. The demographics are similar each year, he said, adding the department does not receive many race and gender-based complaints. Moore said he is unsure how the department will collect racial and gender data, and he is not sure how people would react to being asked for their gender and race. Quote, some people will be fine with it. Some people will say, what do you need that for? Unquote, Moore said. Read more about the story at HudsonValley360.com. Morgan McKay is reporting for New York State of Politics that the state Senate this week approved legislation almost unanimously that would put a 15% cap on delivery fees and a 5% cap on marketing charges levied by third-party delivery companies such as Grubhub, DoorDash, and Uber Eats. The bill would only be in effect until 90 days after the state of emergency ends with the COVID-19 pandemic. Melissa Fleischschutt, president of the New York State Restaurant Association, says the next step is to get the measure through the state assembly. In a statement, spokesperson for DoorDash said, quote, DoorDash has always supported restaurants. Pricing regulations could cause us to increase costs for customers, which could lead to fewer orders for local restaurants and fewer earning opportunities for Dashers. We are eager to engage with policymakers on solutions that better support restaurants, customers, and Dashers, unquote. The bill must be approved by the state assembly before it becomes law, but several counties such as Albany and Westchester have already passed similar measures. Read more about the story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com. And Diane Pinero-Zucker is reporting for the Daily Freeman that the Ulster County SPCA has been looking for two stray domestic peacocks for about 3 weeks and believe they may now be close to finding and rescuing the lost birds. SPCA Executive Director Gina Carbonari said January 23rd. Carbonari said the Ulster County Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals has received about 5 direct calls from the same locations in Uptown Kingston and, quote, some random stuff through 6 degrees of separation on Facebook, unquote, indicating sightings of the peacocks. Feeding stations and traps have been set for the birds near where the SPCA believes they are located, but Carbonari declined to provide a specific location. They want to prevent large numbers of well-intentioned animal lovers from unintentionally interfering with the rescue effort. If anyone sees the birds, Carbonari recommended they, quote, leave the animal alone, just call in where the sightings are, unquote. She said until they are found, the birds are going to do well with the cold weather since they are apparently adapted to living outside. Quote, it does make it more difficult when you're talking about birds that can simply fly away. It's not quite the same as a dog that can't fly away. It's different kind of operation for sure, unquote, Carbonari said. Peacock sightings may be reported to the SPCA at 845-331-5377. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman, and read more about any stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts Sunday should be sunny, with a high of just 23 degrees and wind chill values as low as negative 7, with blustery and cold winds about 16 to 20 miles per hour. Sunday night should be partly cloudy with low around 16. Monday should be mostly sunny with a high of just 29 and a low around 18. And Tuesday, there's a chance of snow, a 40% chance, with a high of 27 and a low around 18. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
Ocho, seis, uno.
Tune in the Radio Art Hour, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WGXC, a show where art is not just on the radio, but is the radio.
Oh, radio, radio. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Oh, oh, radio.
The Radio Art Hour draws from the Waveform Broadcast Radio Art Archive, an online resource that aims to identify, coalesce, and celebrate historical and contemporary international radio artworks made by artists around the world. Tune in the Radio Art Hour, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the Curtin family of Tivoli, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We know now that in the early years of the 20th century, this world was being watched closely by intelligences greater than man's and yet as mortal as his own. We know now that as human beings busied themselves about their various concerns, they were scrutinized and studied, perhaps almost as narrowly as a man with a microscope might scrutinize the transient creatures that swarm and multiply in a drop of water. With infinite complacence, people went to and fro over the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space.
मीठी मीठी सी ये मुनिया सर पे डाले है ये चुनिया क्यों हाँ क्यों हो सोनी सोनी सी कुड़ी नू मौज में रहने दे ना दुनिया क्यों हाँ दुनिया क्यों है किन्नी शानदार कुड़ी ये कर देगी कमाल इसे झूमने दे अपनी बीत दे कुड़ी नू नचने दे हाँ नचने दे तू आज लगाने दे ठुमके हाँ चुमके कुड़ी नू नचने दे हाँ नचने दे तू सारे या फिक्रा नू छड़ के पंठन के कुड़ी नू नचने दे हाँ नचने दे तू आज लगाने दे ठुमके हाँ चुमके कुड़ी नू नचने दे हाँ नचने दे तू सारे या फिक्रा नू छड़ के पंठन के कुड़ी नू नचने दे सोच क्यों है जी ओ हो पाजी ओ उखड़े उखड़े क्यों खड़े जी हंसतो तो हंस देगी दुनिया भी हाँ जी ओ आए जो ऑन द फ्लोर कुड़ी तो खूब मचाए शोर तू भी झूम लेना इसकी बीट दे कुड़ी नू नचने दे हाँ नचने दे तू आज लगाने दे ढूंढ के चमके कुड़ी नू नचने दे हाँ नचने दे तू सारे या फिक्रा नू छड़ के बंधन के कुड़ी नू नचने नचने दे नचने दे जी लगाने दे ढूंगे हाँ चमके कुड़ी नू नचने नचने दे नचने तारे या फिक्रा नू छड़ के बंधन के कुड़ी नू नचने दे
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Georgia, and I live in Ghent, 15 minutes away from Hudson.
I'm Jada, and I live in Elizabeth, which is also 15 minutes away from Hudson.
I'm Lena, and I'm from Hudson.
And I'm Cecile. I also live in Hudson.
She lives with me.
Yeah.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Hurrah!
Books. Just books. Nothing else.
Books we love, books we hate, bookish things.
And we're really excited to have Jada back with us after a bit of a hiatus. We've missed her. And we're also happy to have Cecile with us today, who is Lena's sister, who our regular listeners have heard mention of at times on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. Did you have anything in particular that you wanted to talk about today, Cecile?
I did start reading a book recently over my winter break from college. It's called The Stand by Stephen King. So I was just going to talk about that since cool. You guys talk about books. So I just started it. I'm only on the second chapter because I was reading the preface and it has like two parts to it. So I actually ended up getting this book from the Hudson Book Festival when I was in high school, which is really cool because it turns out that this book is actually the extended version of the original print. And it was printed about 14 years ago. And he had wrote this whole manuscript, but then had to cut it down because his editors and publishers were saying that it was going to cost too much and that people weren't going to want to buy it because it would be too much money, also too much words. So he had cut it down and done surgery to his beautiful manifest and printed out the shortened version. But then after so much request from his readers, he ended up printing out this extended version. And so I'm really excited to read it because it goes on further than what most readers have read. So I feel like in a way, I have like an exclusive to this book.
And what is the book?
Oh, it's called The Stand.
Oh, it's The Stand. That's an extended The Stand?
Yeah.
Huh.
Have you read it?
No. But the book's so long, it's hard to imagine it extended.
Yeah, it is. It's like a very short, fat book. So it's a little intimidating, which is why I'm also only on chapter 2, because I take breaks in between. But it's about how it's kind of relates to what we're going through now. So this guy works in a biological testing facility, and he ends up freaking out overnight. He leaves his shift, and in the middle of the night, around 2 in the morning, goes home, tells his wife to pack his things, get the baby in the car, and that they're going to go far away, thinking that he can escape this new virus that they've created in their testing lab. And by doing that, he ends up actually spreading the virus throughout the country. But later on, according to the back of the book, he's going to meet like 2 survivors that are like immune to it. So hopefully it has like a happy ending.
Yeah, I haven't read enough Stephen King to know how often the endings are happy. I know there's some that aren't. I think I saw, I can't remember if it was a movie or a TV adaptation of that, like way back, like long time ago. And now they have a new, I think, miniseries version.
Oh, yes. I like the coronavirus. What a coincidence.
Yeah, it does.
I hope you enjoy it.
Yes, thank you.
I'm so curious that it's extended and what that means.
Yeah, I'll have to look into what the shortened version was.
Yeah.
This one's like 1,500 pages.
That's a lot of pages.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of his books, he has some like sort of standard length novels, and then he also has some short stories. But then some of them are like these massive books, like that one and It are both really huge books. And they're both ones that like plot wise I'm more interested in reading than some of the other ones, but they're very intimidating because they're so big.
Yeah.
But hopefully it's like a fun read, so it becomes a page turner so that you can turn those pages fast.
Yeah, so far it's been really easy to breeze through.
Mm-hmm. Cool, thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
Who wants to go next? How about AJ? We haven't heard from you in a long time.
So if you said that it was a big one, and then that reminded me, my best friend Anaya came up with this really creepy story that she made up by herself. And so there's this girl that's sad all the time. She never smiles. Her parents always demand her to smile. And then one day when she's asleep, they cut her mouth so that it has to be a smile.
Yeah.
And she drew a picture of it. And she told me that she can listen to and read 5 million horror stories and not like get nightmares about it. She loves those. I'm like, are you crazy? And then there was this other boy who watched It. He was only like, I think in the first grade. And he was like, hey, it was an okay movie. And I was like, oh my God, that's so crazy. Ah, that movie is just like so scary. Anyway, before this, I was actually listening to the Audible book, Barack Obama's A Promised Land. And it's read by him too. And it's great so far. It's about his life and how he grew up and his meeting Michelle Obama. And it was nice. I liked listening to it. I liked how he imitated all these other people. He did really good voices. Of course, I don't personally know the people that he was talking about.
That's funny, though. He does voices for people?
He was really good at it. It's kind of like one long speech that he prepared.
That was a long speech. Not as long as The Stand, but...
Uh-huh. In the beginning, he said that no matter how hard he tried or with his restraints, the book kept on getting longer and longer. So, wow. It has to have like 5 or 6 parts. 1 second, let me look. 27 chapters and 7 parts. And there's an opening credits, dedication, epigraph, brief, and a preface. So, all in all, I'd say it's a pretty long book.
Mm-hmm. And that's just the first volume of his presidential memoir, so there's going to be more.
Yeah, it was after he was president. Oh, and just want to say happy inauguration.
Ooh, we lost you. All right, looks like we lost AJ for a minute, so we'll come back to them if they get back. Well, while we're waiting for AJ to rejoin us, how about we go to Georgia?
Okay. So I am sharing ACT, a graphic novel. It is my favorite graphic novel. The book that I shared last week, The Girl Who Circumnavigated Fairyland, A Ship of Her Own Making, and This Why Is Tide. This one I actually discovered because I read it on Libby and I really liked it. And mm-hmm. I wanted to keep rereading it, but people love it so much. I always had to wait. The waiting list was, like, I don't know, 4 weeks all the time. So I got this for Christmas, and I'm really excited about it. I've reread it a million times, and I really like the art, and it's about a class election for student council, and the main character, Olive, for office, but her friends are running for office, too. Maybe I'll read a little bit of it. And then once I'm finished reading, I'll show you the art, because graphic novels aren't amazing read out loud without the art. Hey, Liv, ready to go? Yeah. Good. Oof. I'm okay. Did you guys hear that? Hey, can I ask you guys something? Sure. What's up? So here's the first.
Can you describe it for the radio listeners? Because they won't be able to see it.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it's got really good art. I think the art, I actually write, I'm also kind of a cartoonist myself. My main hobby is baking, but my other two hobbies are comics, reading and making them, and soccer. And my hidden hobby is knitting. I can make a really good stuffed animal. I can knit a really good one. I sometimes knit stuffed animals for my little sister, for friends.
That's nice.
Yeah, I do spool knitting. Anyways, the art is kind of blocky. The things are more blocks than circles. Olive's braids are kind of more square. They're kind of diagonal lines going towards each other. But it's such a good book, and I think a lot of the comics I read are mostly circular. So I think the blocky kind of aspect about it really adds to the beautiful art and really makes it have an interesting experience. And a lot of books I read on Libby, awesome app. The one where you hook a library card and then you can borrow books from your library online.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really fun. And the art is just really good, and there's a lot of facial expression, and you can kind of tell the surroundings.
Nice.
And you can really tell what the character is feeling.
Have you read all the other ones in that series?
Yeah. I think they get better as they go along. The first one...
The first one's Click?
Yeah. Not a big fan. It's good, but not favorite. Second one, good. Can't. That one's really good. And then ACT is amazing. This is ACT. That is the book I'm showing you.
That's good to know. I've only read Click, so...
You should read the others. Camp is also pretty good. And they're by Kayla Miller. which I heard that she was going to be at the book festival, right?
Yeah, she was supposed to be at the book fest last year.
I used to go to that book festival every year, and one year I met the illustrator of the Ramona Quimby books, and I was about six then. Honestly, I was still a little starstruck, not as starstruck as I'd be now, but I was amazed by her art, and she actually gave me a kid's book she made on her own. It's an activity book with Ramona illustrations, and it's Ramona themed. And she kind of autographed it. She said, "To Georgia, enjoy." I think something like that. And she drew Ramona, and I was just wowed, because when the books were made, computers weren't so present then. I mean, they're around, but the art was really good. I wish art in books or graphic novels was the way it was kind of then now, because they didn't really clean it up with computers as much. They did clean it up a little bit, but they kind of had to really do their best and do it. But nowadays, we're just like, oh, I can just clean it up with the computer. I can just clean it up. I don't have to worry. So she is a really good artist aside from computer. She used her own pen and signed. I still have that book and that signature. And Ramona looked almost exactly like the one in the book. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. You don't see that a lot these days, you know, all the computers cleaning stuff up.
Yeah, I like the more natural look for illustrations too.
Definitely.
Very cool. I'll have to check out. Do you remember which ones? So it's Click, and then is it Act, and then Camp? Or does it not matter? What order?
Well, the order doesn't quite matter. Click is towards the end of fifth grade. Camp is the summer between fifth and sixth grade. And Act is the beginning of sixth grade.
Got it. So maybe I'll try Camp next.
Yeah. Camp, then Act.
Thanks so much for sharing. And Lena, do you have a book or a bookish thing to share?
Well, there's a book that I'm going to share, and it's called The Girl's Book on How to Be the Best at Everything. And one of my personal favorite pages is How to Travel with Just One Bag. And even though we can't travel right now at this moment, because, like, you know, pandemic is happening, I would like to travel soon. And it's just teaching you about how you could, like, save more space by, like, having it take up other space, I guess, is a way to explain it. I don't really know how to explain it that well.
But, creative ways to make space.
Yeah. And another one of my favorites is How to Send a Message in Morse Code. And it shows you, like, the Morse code alphabet. And pretty interesting, but I would also like to learn how to do Morse code, like with the beeping sounds. Going to read a little bit of How to Travel with Just One Bag. The most sophisticated travelers never struggle with loads of bags. Clever packing is the secret to being one of those glamorous girls who breeze through airports with just one stylish piece of luggage. First, find the right bag. It should be small enough to be allowed onto planes as carry-on luggage. Good luggage shops will know the dimensions. Light, easy to carry, and distinctive. Write a list of everything you're going to need, then look over it and ask yourself if there is anything you could possibly live without. Collect each absolutely necessary item and put it on your bed, crossing it off the list as you do so. Take the list with you so that you can make sure you haven't forgotten anything when it's time to return home.
I find it funny when packing for trips that if I'm going for a long time and I'm on a plane, I will find a way to fit everything into like one suitcase and one backpack and just make it work. But if I'm going to my parents' house for the weekend, I pack like a trunk load of stuff. I so overpack when I'm going short distances in a car, because I don't have to worry about like lugging it around because it's just going to like sit in my trunk if I don't need it. But I find that really amusing that like a 2-day weekend, I could have like tons of stuff. And then I go away for 2 weeks and I have like one bag.
That's extremely funny. You should do the opposite for each thing.
Yeah.
Well, it is actually good not to overpack. I mean, it's okay to have multiple bags though, because I mean, especially if you're a kid, it's not good to overpack because you never know when you're going to pick up a bunch of merch at the place.
Mm-hmm.
So then maybe your bag will just be overflowing with.
And it'll break.
Open. Then you'll have to buy another suitcase there. More merch.
More merch.
Broken suitcase. For your broken suitcase.
This is my one thing. Ooh, there's another. Eventually, you're going to have to basically buy the whole world and eventually just stay where you are.
So you have to buy very light
but
souvenirs.
What happens if you decide to buy a bunch of books on books are much heavier than a lot of things.
Well, it depends on the book you're talking about. If you're buying, like, this magic treehouse book, which they're really good, just thin, very light, that'd be easy. But if you bought a complete Brothers Grimm fairy tales book, that would be a different thing.
Or if you buy all the encyclopedias that ever existed in the world. I wish that I could read stuff that have like a million pages so that it would be one book that I can never finish. Because I always finish all my books and I don't like that.
I love finishing books because then I get to pick out a new one.
Yeah.
I just like to read.
Me too. You're a fast reader. I am not that fast, but I am still really fast. And sometimes when I say stuff, people sometimes don't believe that I read that fast. They're like, how did you read that fast? Wait, that can't be true.
Well, speaking of reading time, it's time to read some books. We're out of time for today. Well, we hope everyone has a great week with lots of quality reading time. We will be back next week to talk about some more books. And until next week, happy reading.
Reading.
Bookish. Happy reading bookish things. Bye-bye, bookish people. I can't stop saying bookish.
Tenalo, 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 ten I'm Fatia, and today I'm going to read you a poem about family, family. Okay, let's get started. Family, family, one, two, more about my family. We are six in my family. We are one happy family. Family, family, that's my family. Bye, Fatia. Bye!
Sunday at 3 p.m., tune in the final ever episode of Donald Trump Theater. Volume 210, Goodbye, Farewell, Amen, is an homage to final episodes of other television shows.
It sounds like my cab is here.
And an homage to our hero, Donald Trump.
Nobody likes me.
We'll hear from series regulars such as Anthony Adamaniuk from The President Show.
Concession speeches are for losers.
Randy Rainbow.
2,102,400 minutes.
Comedian J.L. Colvin.
Okay, we are in the White House bathroom because they've shut off my Wi-Fi.
Catskills Amy Rigby.
I might even pop a bottle of champagne.
And mobster Henry Hill.
Now take me to jail.
Tune in to the final ever episode of Donald Trump Theater, Volume 210, Goodbye, Farewell, Amen, Sunday at 3 p.m. at WGXC 90.7 FM.
This is Karen Werner, and up next from the Wave Farm Radio Art Archive is a piece called Radio Telegraph, produced by Anna Friz. Anna Friz is a Canadian sound and media artist and media studies scholar whose work inspires many a radio artist. The piece we will hear now, Radio Telegraph, invites us into the thickly poetic space of radio. Across the vastness of space and time, we hear a lone voice greeting the listener in one of radio's mother tongues, Morse code. Anna Friz created Radio Telegraph in Seyðisfjörður, a small coastal town in eastern Iceland that was the site of the first telegraph cable connection between Iceland and Europe in 1906. She describes the context of the piece. Quote, Radio Telegraph is a beacon simulcast by a private low-watt transmitter in Seyðisfjörður on 107.1 FM and by Radius, Chicago, 88.9 FM at sundown, Seyðisfjörður time, for a period of 5 days in October. The beacon signals the descent of the sun into the northern night. End quote. Here's a translation of the Morse code that Anna Friz is voicing in Radio Telegraph. Day closing, night closing in. This is the evening of the year. Cheer us for the darksome hours. We remain together. We are here for the night. You just heard Radio Telegraph by Anna Friz. To learn more about this piece and to hear many other examples of radio art, please visit the Wave Farm Radio Art Archive at wavefarm.org. We'll be right back.
if it's not asking too much. For our information, just for illustration, tell us how you intend to run the nation.
These are the laws of my administration. No one's allowed to smoke or tell a dirty joke, and whistling is forbidden.
We're not allowed to tell a dirty joke.
If chewing gum is chewed, the chewer is pursued, and in the